Oh, so everyone can be seated tonight except for Bruce, who is our birthday boy. All right. Yeah, that actually means you have to stand, Bruce. Come on. His birthday was Monday. His birthday was Monday, and so I didn't get a chance to embarrass him on Sunday because he wasn't here on Sunday. So he thought he had escaped. But here he is on Wednesday. So let's sing happy birthday to Bruce. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Bruce. Happy birthday to you. And many more. Lord, we love Bruce. We thank you so much for bringing Bruce into our lives. We thank you for the blessing he is in so many ways. And we ask your richest blessing upon him this year. Lord, give him good health this year. Strengthen him, body, soul, mind, spirit. Bless him and use him. And now, Lord, as we turn our attention to your word, I pray that you would speak to us, remind us of truths that are sometimes easy to neglect. Bless our time tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like you to turn to Colossians chapter 3 tonight. That's page 1355. I'm still working through how to structure and plan and get everything ready as we go into New Testament in our peak study. So we'll be starting that very shortly. But tonight, the Lord has led me to Colossians chapter 3. We're going to look at verses 16 through 17 tonight. And I'd like to begin by putting up a verse that's very, very important. It's found in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6, verses 4 through 5. This is a famous verse. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. That is probably one of the most well-known verses in the Old Testament. It is known as the Shema. The Hebrew word for hear is Shema. All Jews are familiar with this verse. The Orthodox Jews wake up every morning and recite this out loud in Hebrew from memory every single morning. It's the first thing they do. Many of them will also recite this verse out loud before they go to bed, and they think about this verse all day long. Many Jews today, as in the day of Jesus, had these phylacteries strung around their foreheads with the leather box on the forehead. Guess what scripture's in that leather box? The Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Maybe you've been to a Jewish residence and you see little boxes attached to the door frames. Those are called mezuzahs. Guess what scripture is in those mezuzah? The Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. This is their creed. This is their verse. They're always thinking on this. Which is why I find it really funny in Matthew chapter 22 when the experts in the law came to Jesus with that question, Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? Remember that? And they were trying to test Jesus. What's the greatest commandment in the law? And you remember the rabbis and the Pharisees and the scribes had really complicated that. They divided the law up into all these hundreds of negative laws, hundreds of positive laws, into all these different kinds of categories. I can see them in their theological studies with whiteboards, doing flow charts, analyzing, talking about which law is the most important. And so this guy comes up to Jesus and says, what's the greatest commandment in the law? What's your take? And you remember how Jesus answered that? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. In other words, you're complicating things. The answer to your question is right between your eyes on your forehead. It's the verse that you recite every morning and every evening. Love God. And that is the answer to the question. The greatest commandment is loving God. That should define us. As Christians, it should be our mission statement on life, our purpose, our focus. And we are to love God with our minds, with our hearts, and with our souls, our strength, as it will also say. Colossians chapter 3, these two verses right here, I believe, sort of put meat on the bones of the Shema. This is a passage that tells us how to love God with our mind, with our heart, with our soul. Let's read through it. Look at it. Verse 16, chapter 3 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you. How? Richly. In all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Let's divide that up. Let's consider, what does it mean to love God with your mind? What does the mind represent, the brain? Your thoughts, your intellect, what you think about. We're to love God with our thoughts, with our minds. And how can we do that? Well, look at that first phrase of verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. That is such an important phrase. I love that phrase. Pick it apart just a little bit. Word of Christ, what does that refer to? Well, that refers to the words that Jesus spoke, the truth. Now, how many of you have red letter Bibles? What's a red letter Bible? All the words of Christ are in red. And so certainly the word of Christ would refer to the red letters in your Bibles, the actual words that he said. But we also know that as part of the triune God, he was instrumental in producing the whole Bible. So all of God's truth written down, the written word of God. It says, let the word of Christ, the Bible, dwell in you. Dwell. Great word. Be at home at. Take up residence in your mind. The Word of God comes into your mind and makes itself right at home. The Bible becomes a welcome guest inside you. That is, you let God's Word in, you let it permeate every area of your thinking, every facet of your being. The Word of God is allowed to come into your life and go into the basement of your house, the refrigerator, the bedrooms, the closets, the family room. God's Word dwells in you. And notice it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. In the Greek, this is a word that means super abundance. I mean, it's this overflowing amount. It's literally going over the top. So as Christians, if we want to love God with our minds, we want God's word to dwell in our minds in an overflowing capacity, richly. And so we go over the Bible. We read it. We study it. We speak it. We meditate on it. We handle it. We hold it. We live it. And then I love that little word at the beginning, let. Did you catch that? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. I love that. It's like God's word is this living thing. And it's just waiting to enter you. It's like you have a fire hose full of water. And it's being held back, but all you have to do is open the faucet and let it. If you're a Christian here tonight, God's word wants to invade your life, to permeate every aspect, and all you got to do is let it. And how do you let it? Open it. Read it. Let it do its work. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. The word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It's living. Let it live in your mind. Isaiah 55, for as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Let it. It's been sent. You want to love God with your mind? Let God's word richly dwell in you. I love what one person said concerning the Bible. He said, if you are cold, let it warm you. If you're asleep, let it wake you. If you are a backslider, let it warn you. If you are defiled, let it wash you. If you're disobedient, let it whip you. If you are uncertain, let it witness to you. If you are unsaved, let it win you. Such a wonderful truth and something to remember. As you read God's word, you're loving him. You're loving him with your mind. And his word will change you. What makes the difference is not how many times you have been through the Bible, but how many times and how thoroughly the Bible has been through you. Let it. And gang, the byproducts of giving your time and attention and diligent, consistent study and reading of God's word, you'll feel it. It'll impact your life. It'll keep you from sin. Psalm 19 or 119:11. How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word, O Lord. I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Reading God's word will grow you spiritually. It literally is the food, the spiritual food that by which we grow. It will challenge you. It will comfort you. It will direct you. It says in our text, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. It gives you wisdom. You want to be wise beyond your age? Wise beyond your experience? Let God's word dwell within you. It mentions teaching and admonishing. As you let God's word in you, it teaches you and it helps you to become a teacher of others. It admonishes you. It warns you. And it helps you to become an admonisher of others. And the best part, as you read God's word, you come to know God better and you come to love him more. And you express your love more and more by continuing to read his word and love him with your mind. We're right at the beginning of a brand new year. We're just getting started, right? Make it your aim this year to love God with your mind. It says, George Mueller said this about God's word. You've heard of George Mueller, right? He's known as the man of faith. Put orphanages together by faith. Known as just this, God did amazing things. Listen to what he says about the Bible. He says, the vigor of our spiritual life will be in exact proportion to the place held by the Bible in our life and thoughts. I solemnly state this from the experience of 54 years. The first 3 years after conversion, I neglected the Word of God. Since I began to search it diligently, the blessing has been wonderful. Great has been the blessing from consecutive, diligent, daily study. I look upon it as a lost day when I have not had a good time over the Word of God. Let it. You don't have to go search for it. God hasn't hidden it. It's there. Let it dwell in you richly. That's one way to love God with your mind. Okay, let's go to that second point. We're also to love God with our... You know what that is, right? Our hearts. Our hearts. Guys, especially, listen to me. Your feelings. Your emotions. Your affection. We're to love God with emotion and passion. This would almost speak of the romantic side of life. And how do we love God with our hearts? Well, notice what it says in verse 16. In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, doing what with grace? singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. You know, one of the most common ways to love God with your heart is to sing. Sing to Him. Music has been called the language of the soul. Music has been called pure, unadulterated emotion without words. What better way to worship and love the Lord with your heart than through song? Now, you look all over the Bible, folks. Hundreds of songs. In the Bible, God's people sing. Sing to Him. Some of you are saying, but I can't sing. Well, maybe you can't. That's not true. You can sing. Just maybe not in tune. Maybe not all that good. But listen, your audience is one. You have an audience of one. Who is it? It says, sing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Have a melody in your heart. Whistle. Have a love song always in your heart to the Lord. Pour out that affection to Him. Yeah, guys. Tell God how much you love Him. Sing to Him. Give Him that place. You notice the different types of songs that Paul mentions in this verse. In verse 16, he says, in psalms. Now, what would that be? The psalms. The psalms in the Old Testament. 150 of them. There are other psalms throughout the Old Testament. Those are songs. Read through those. Say those to the Lord. Sing those to the Lord. You know, when I was when I first came to the Lord, a lot of the praise songs that we used to sing were psalms put to music. Very cool. Very cool. Literally singing psalms to the Lord. Spend a lot of time in the book of Psalms. Let those become expressions of your love to the Lord. What else does it say? One another in psalms and hymns. Hymns. Now that is a word that means a religious ode. It's more of a heavyweight kind of song. You might even think of it as something that would be liturgical, more theological. Understand those songs, understand those hymns, and sing them to the Lord. In fact, look over at chapter 1 here, Colossians. Look at verse 15. Concerning Christ, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He may have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him all the fullness should dwell, and by Him to reconcile all things to Himself, by Him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of His cross. Now, is that a heavy-duty passage? Tradition tells us that that was one of the first earliest hymns in the Christian church. Church sang that. That's awesome. Some of our great hymns. O Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. The second stanza, listen to this. Hear the theology. And when I think of God, his son not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in. Then on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. You sing that. It's from the heart. You comprehend these amazing things and you love him for it. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and lead me home, what joy shall fill my heart? Then I shall bow with humble adoration and then proclaim, my God, how great thou art. How many of you have heard of John Wesley? How many of you have heard of Charles Wesley? Okay, they were brothers, right? Who was the preacher? John Wesley was the preacher. How many sermons do you remember that he preached? Could you recite? Come on, tell me a sermon that John Wesley preached. Charles Wesley wrote hymns. And I'll bet you remember more of Charles Wesley's stuff than you do John's. In fact, Hark, the Herald Angels Sing. Glory to the Newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies. With the angelic host proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king. Theology you know, you've memorized, it's melody. Sing it every year. Beautiful. Beautiful theology. Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord, late in time behold him come, offspring of the favored one. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity. Pleased as man with men to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king. Man, you put stuff to music and you can remember it. Think of all the silly, stupid commercial jingles you know, right? You put something to music and you remember it. There are some great hymns, folks. Wonderful hymns. Sing them. Hum them. Pray them. Pour them out. Love God with music. Love God with your heart. It says in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Now that would speak of psalms that are songs that are all kinds of different variety. Testimonial songs. Songs that maybe have a story to it. Special songs. My favorite would be love songs. Love songs. Love songs sung to Jesus. I want to ask you a question, my brother and sister in Christ. When was the last time you wept before the Lord? When was the last time? When was the last time you were overcome with emotion in the presence of God? Has it been too long? That place of affection. You know, we sang a lot tonight about God loving us. Think about how much God loves you. The Bible says we love him because he first loved us. Think about how much he loves you. Think about what he's done for you. Rejoice in that. Love him with your heart. Okay, let's go to that third. And I'm going to call this loving God with your life. Because soul is really the word spirit or breath. Love God with all of your breath. Love God with all of your strength. So love God with your life, your soul, your strength. And look what we read in verse 17. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. That's how you love God with your life. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Folks, what does that word whatever mean? Whatever, right? Means whatever. As a Christian, whatever you do in word, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's loving God with your life. What you speak. So, the words that you speak at church, right? The prayers that you offer at church. You do that in the name of the Lord. If you teach at church, you do that in the name of the Lord. If you're fellowshipping with other brothers and sisters in Christ and you're speaking, you do that in the name of the Lord. Is that the only place that we speak? In the name of the Lord? No. How about school? How about the playground? How about the office? How about out in this community? Loving God with your life, your breath, is speaking words in his name no matter where you're at. And be extra conscious about that. Because I believe the hardest part in the human experience, the hardest, and the Bible teaches, what's the hardest member of our body to tame? The tongue. Do away with profanity. Do away with dirty jokes. Do away with telling lies. Do away with gossip. Do away with slander. Do away with angry yelling, bitter words. Love God in the way you talk. And of course, we need the help of the Holy Spirit on that one, don't we? We actually need the help of the Holy Spirit in all of this. It also says, whatever you do in deed, action, do it in the name of the Lord. Okay, so does that include just the things we do at church? Going to church, singing, tithing, serving. Yeah, we do all that in the name of the Lord, but does it just include that? No, it also includes every single area of your life. What you do at work, what you do at school, what you do out there in the community. Do everything. Everything. In the name of Jesus Christ. And that's how you love him with your life. And you know what, folks? That's what makes Christianity, I believe, so so real and so exciting. Christianity isn't just for church. Christianity is out there. Did you know that what you do 8 to 5 matters? It matters to God. And you can do that for Him, out of love for Him, service to Him. Doing spreadsheets for God. Business meetings for God. Mowing lawns for God. Teaching for the Lord. Doing what we do day by day. That's worship. That's an expression of love. And I'm telling you, if you see that, it makes all of life come alive. You know, there's no compartments for a Christian. There's no here we do this, and then here we do this over here. Everything becomes holy. Among the legends is the tale of a medieval sidewalk superintendent. He asked 3 stonemasons on a construction project what they were doing. The first replied that he was laying bricks. The second described his work as that of building a wall. The third guy was a Christian, and he demonstrated genuine esteem for his work when he said, "I'm raising a great cathedral." Everything becomes special. Everything becomes holy. All of it's important. Live it. Do it for the Lord. One housewife has a plaque hanging on the wall right above her kitchen sink. Divine service rendered here 3 times daily. Washing dishes. For God, out of love for Him. I'm honoring God with my task. Changes everything. Notice it says in verse 17, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. What does that mean to do things and speak things in the name of the Lord Jesus? What does that mean? Does that mean you attach an "in Jesus' name" on to every prayer, to everything you say? No, it doesn't. It means that as a Christian, you bear the name of Jesus Christ upon your life, and you are living as His representative. You represent Christ. You speak in His name. You work in His name. Paul put it this way: now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. We're ambassadors. What's an ambassador? An ambassador is somebody who represents another country. One of our ambassadors to another country represents the United States of America, the policies of the United States of America, and the President of the United States of America. If you are a Christian, you represent a country called heaven. And you represent the policies of heaven. And you represent the King of heaven. And everywhere you go, you act in His name. Wow. And we show our love, God. We show our love back to God by representing Him well. Amen. Represent Him well. Do all. Speak all. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Pretty simple, right? And by the way, let me clarify that. Pretty simple to understand, right? And actually, really, if you really thought about it, and it was at the forefront of your mind, not in a leather box, but at the forefront of your mind every day, every morning you wake up, I'm loving God today with my mind, with my heart, and with every breath that I take with my life. And you keep that. There's some pretty special things that I think are going to happen in our lives. It'll change us. God will use us mightily. I want to close just a bit early, and I want to take a few moments, and I just want to pray through the Shema. I'd like you to bow your heads with me and close your eyes. I just want you to take some time and be with the Lord right now. Just you and Him. And the first thing I want you to pray is ask God to help you love Him more with your mind this year. Your mind. It's you and the Lord. Yes, Lord, help us as your people to love you with our minds. May we never, ever tire of the absolute blessing of your word. I pray that our hunger for your word would increase every day. Lord, I pray that your word would dwell richly in our hearts and in our minds. Now I'd like you to take a few moments and pray, ask God to help you love Him more with your heart, with your affection. Have you lost your first love? Have you lost that passion? Lord, forgive us for letting this marvelous relationship you've made possible to us. Forgive us for letting it ever become dry. Lord, pour water on our hearts. Lord, give us passion for you. Pray that we would be so reminded of your great love for us that we would love you with our affection, with our singing, with our tears, with our joys, Lord, that we would draw near to you. And now let's ask the Lord to help us love him with our strength, our breath, with each breath that we take, with our lives, in every season of life. Ask him to help you. Father, I do pray by your Holy Spirit we would speak consistently good words in your name. That our words would be filled with blessing and encouragement. That our words would build others up. Lord, that we would be ready at all times to share the gospel message, what you've done in our lives. Lord, help us control our tongues. We want to love you in that area of our life. And then, Lord, I pray that we would never fall into that trap of compartmentalizing life. Let us never be men and women who act a certain way in a certain environment and a different way in another. But may we do everything, whatever, in your name. Lord, I pray that we would be the best workers, the most faithful employees. Lord, I pray that we would see everything as being important to you and we'd serve you. You're the master. You're our real boss. And we want to love you with our life, with every breath. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.